I'd like to take your Bibles and open them to the book of Revelation, or to the first chapter, the book of Revelation, and we are going to consider the apocalypse. According to the spell checker and my word processor and my computer, synonyms for the apocalypse are Armageddon, catastrophe, destruction, Holocaust, revelation, finally getting to something there, vision and dream. And according to Google, if you were to Google, define the apocalypse, you would get something along the lines of the complete final destruction of the world. And then they go on to say, especially as described in the biblical book of Revelation, an event involving destruction or damage on an awesome or catastrophic scale. Frankly, nothing could be further from the truth. That is not the meaning of the word apocalypse. That is not at all what the book of Revelation talks about when the apocalypse is mentioned. It is, however, what the world seems to be interested in these days. Everything from zombie apocalypses to war and vampire apocalypse and just apocalypse in general, and they couldn't be any further from the truth than they are. In the Koine Greek, which is the Greek of the New Testament, the word apocalypsis simply means disclosure of truth. It is used of events by which things or states or persons hitherto withdrawn from view are made visible to all. It means manifestation or appearance. The word from which the word apocalypsis comes from is the Greek word apokalypto, which is a compound word, as is apocalypsis, and it is a combination of the word apo, A-P-O, which means out of or from, it's a preposition, and kalypto, which means to hide or veil or cover. Hence, apokalypto means to uncover or disclose what has been veiled or covered up. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 1, we read the revelation, that would be the apocalypsis, the apocalypse, if you prefer, of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the apocalypsis, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants. So God showed Jesus something, and he in turn was supposed to show it to his servants regarding things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So it's a blessing to learn about the apocalypse. It's not something to be feared. It's something to be looking forward to. It's something to be blessed about. And it has to do with the revelation that God gave Jesus Christ to show unto his servant, beginning with John. The first occurrence of the word apocalypsis is found in Luke. You might want to put a marker there in Revelation. We may come back. But for now, we're going to Luke chapter 2. Luke 2. And this is, here we'll find in this passage, the first occurrence of apocalypsis, which whenever you're looking at the Word of God and trying to get an understanding of what a particular word in the Word is supposed to mean, a good way to do that or get an understanding of it is to look at the first occurrence. Now, that's not the be-all and end-all, but it definitely gives us some insight. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 25. Behold, there was a man of Jerusalem. This has to do with Jesus being dedicated by his parents, by Mary and, of course, his stepdad, Joseph, in the temple, according to the Hebrew law. He was dedicated. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. The Holy Spirit was upon him. The consolation of Israel will be the hope of Israel. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Lord's Messiah. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. That means by revelation, which incidentally, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, revelation. When God gives revelation, it's generally something that you did not know about before that's been disclosed to you. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. None of this sounds like something to be afraid of, does it? Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten, and the word lighten is the Greek word apokalypsis. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. So the first occurrence of apocalypse, is a light of revelation, a light to uncover the nations, that truth would be disclosed, that things hitherto before unknown or covered or veiled were uncovered. That's what apocalypse means. It's an uncovering. In Matthew chapter 10, we'll look at the first occurrence of apocalypto, the root word of apocalypsis. Matthew chapter 10. Again, when you look at these first occurrences, not that it's the be-all and end-all, not that it's the final definition of a word, but it definitely gives you a better understanding, some insight into the meaning of a word. Of course, the meaning of a word and the nuances that a word may carry can be determined also by the context in which it's set, and we must never forget that. But we're looking at an understanding of this word apocalypse, and here in Matthew 10:26, we have the first occurrence of apocalypto, the root word of apocalypse, apokalypsis. Matthew 10, and in verse 26, fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be apocalypto, revealed, and hid that shall not be known. So there are things that are hidden, or veiled, or covered. And when they are apocalypto, or apocalypsis, that means they are uncovered or revealed, and now you can clearly see it. So if I were covered in a sheet, and you did not know that it was me, you would only know that there was a man there, maybe, perhaps, but if you pull the sheet away, you'd see, ta-da, it is I, right? Or anything, like when they unveil a statue, some artist has worked on a statue, and when they're going to reveal it to the public, the word revealed is a good word to describe the meaning of the word apocalypse. Sis or apocalypse. Well, when they take that statue, they have some kind of a ceremony, of course. And at the end of the ceremony, they pull off the covering. They reveal the statue. And everybody goes, ooh, ah, and they applaud. Because now they can see what formerly was hidden from view. That's what apocalypse means. Something is going to be revealed. The biblical record in the book of Revelation does not talk about Armageddon as being collectively the same thing as apocalypse. No, 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 no. Armageddon is the final battle, which will take place. And after 1,000 years of our Lord Jesus Christ reigning here upon earth, not before, and of course, the tribulation that the world will go through will continue and just get worse and worse until the revelation, the revealing of the Antichrist. And then, of course, the Lord himself will be revealed from heaven and will destroy the Antichrist's work, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and those that follow them will be thrown into the lake of fire, Gehenna, and they will cease to be an issue. The devil himself shall be chained, because he's a spirit, so that's figurative, meaning that he will be unable to affect in any way things that go on outside of his sphere of influence. He won't have any sphere of influence. He will be locked up, figuratively speaking. In Isaiah chapter 9, if you go there, please. So one can see quite clearly that this apocalypse, that the world continues to beat the drum of the apocalypse in every way possible, could be an entertaining movie, but that's where it ends. You know, you might have The Walking Dead or the Z Nation or whatever other kind of zombie sort of movie you want. They talk about the zombie apocalypse. Incidentally, even that has been changed over the years. When I was a kid, I remember watching some of these. We used to watch these old movies because that's all there was to watch. If you were fortunate enough for one of the Universal monster movies to come on TV, oh, they were black and white and the music, and they were awesome, right? Well, zombies then were individuals who were one way or another put under the spell, either with some chemical or some incantation or a combination of both, by some voodoo priest or priestess, and then that zombie, quote unquote, was not a dead person, was simply somebody who could no longer act on their own accord, and the voodoo priest or voodoo priestess would give them directions, most usually to kill somebody else. And that's what zombies were. This old issue of the dead rising again, and they're decomposing, and they're dead, and there's no heartbeat, and there's no lungs, but they're able to make that noise that they all seem to make. And they want to eat brains. That's all contrivancy of Hollywood. So here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1, Isaiah 9, 1. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously affect her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, on Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy and harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born. Talking about the Messiah. This is a messianic prophecy. And all that that is going to bring in a super positive sense to mankind. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, meaning the Mighty Hero, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Again, note the word peace. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Clearly, the coming of the Messiah is not something to be dreaded, but something to look forward to with great joy, and the promise of great deliverance, and the promise of great prosperity, and the promise of great freedom and liberty. This would be true for his second coming as well as his first coming. Of course, his first coming and his second coming are both referred to as his personal presence, his parousia, or in the Greek, parousia. But either way, we await now for his return. He's been here once. The Messiah has been given. These wonderful promises have been staked. We've received the benefit, the fulfillment of them to some degree, but not in totality, but we shall one day. This is not something to be afraid of or to fear, and certainly there's nobody that can stop it from happening. Isaiah 42, please. Again, these are messianic prophecies that were taught and spoken and written before the birth of the Lord himself. In verse 5, Isaiah 42, verse 5, thus saith God, the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretcheth them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and I will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Doesn't sound like something fearful. It sounds like something awesome. Look also, if you would, in Isaiah chapter 60. And I'm just picking a few records here. There are so many, many records which clearly tell us what the coming of our Lord, what his revelation shall be, in totality, what it'll mean to us, how awesome it will be. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness, the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Incidentally, the Gentiles are mentioned quite frequently here. So although the great mystery was revealed as recorded in Ephesians, the real truth of it is that there was much given to note about the Gentiles having access to the same promise as the Jews, but it was never truly understood until God gave the understanding, like so many other things. For example, the devil knew that the Christ would be crucified, but he didn't understand what that would do in effect on his efforts and in deliverance for mankind. If God doesn't give the understanding, it doesn't matter how much you see. It's just, you could read it, you could hear about it, and all of that, but if God doesn't give you the understanding, you just might as well not know it at all. Because without his giving the understanding, you know nothing. Lift up thine eyes round about and see, all they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear. That means be respectful. And be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be covered unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come to thee. What a record. doesn't sound like something to be afraid of at all. Look in Romans chapter 16, last chapter in the book of Romans. Acts, Romans. And the 16th chapter. And skip on down to the 25th verse, which is almost the last verse in the chapter. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation, that will be the apocalypse of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Now, of course, it's being kept secret means that, as I noted a moment ago, the understanding wasn't given. We just read about, just in part, some of the things that God talked about with the Gentiles and so forth. But nobody understood what that really meant because God had not given the understanding. So here you have the word apocalypse used to describe the revelation of the mystery. And we'll read about the mystery in a moment, but first let's go to Galatians 1. Galatians chapter 1. Then we'll go to Ephesians and eventually read about the mystery. But first, Galatians chapter 1. So we're looking at the apocalypse. Not at all what the world says, is it? Not even close. It's so far off, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Galatians 1. And this is where the world is at, really. Verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As I said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not or could not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, as a guarantee, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Now, part of that gospel is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's good news. That's what the word gospel means. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it by Hollywood, but by the revelation of what? Jesus Christ. By the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. So there you go. The apocalypse of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1. So there's good news. The apocalypse is good news. It's not bad news, it's good news. Ephesians 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, apocalypse, in the knowledge of him. When you have the revelation, when this knowledge is revealed, the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. The eyes of your heart will be enlightened. Not something to fear, not the end of the world, the destruction of the world, especially as described in the book of Revelation. What nonsense. It's like they never read the book of Revelation. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. What a wonderful record. How awesome. The apocalypse is awesome. When all of this is revealed, and of course, the word apocalypse or apocalypsis in the Greek is used in a number of different ways depending what's revealed. It was used about the gospel. How can you complain about the gospel? That's what Christianity is built upon. That's what most of these Christian churches talk about. The gospel, the gospel, the gospel, the gospel. The word gospel means good news. So I guess the apocalypse cease, the apocalypse, I guess that's good news. Not a bunch of zombies staggering around, rotting corpses, the end of the world, the devil having full control over everybody and all that other Hollywood theatrics. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, or how that by apocalypsis he made known unto me the mystery. Well, the mystery is good news, is it not? So it's by the apocalypse of the mystery, the revealing of it. Well, look, once a mystery is revealed, it's no longer a mystery, right? You watch these magicians and they do these incredible sleight of hand tricks and you don't know how they did it, but if they revealed it to you, it would seem quite simple, wouldn't it? Likewise, about the mystery. As I wrote afore, in few words, the few words would be in chapter 2, whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed, apocalypto, unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles, here it is, should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Wow, does that sound like bad news? Look, you and I are Gentiles. We were Gentiles. I don't think anybody who is a true child of Israel would even know that today. We are Gentiles for the most part. Today's Christians are comprised of Gentiles who've accepted Jesus as their Lord. This is great news. The promise was given first to Israel, to Judah, and now we are part of it. That's been the apocalypse. Oh, so scary. Very scary, kids. Whereof, verse 7, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me, by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, or untrackable. Why? Because it wasn't revealed. There was no understanding of it. It's like it talks about the devil. He didn't know that what would happen if he crucified the Lord of glory. Had he known, he wouldn't have done it. What he read, he knew, he understood the script. He didn't understand. He knew what the scripture said. He just didn't have the understanding. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known or made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose, the purpose of the ages, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Does that sound like something scary? You know, most men are afraid of God because of what Adam did. Adam ran in fear of God because he knew he was naked spiritually. That doesn't need to be the case for anybody today because you can be clothed with God's Spirit. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. And for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Hebrews, James, and Peter. Verse 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, we're kept by the power of God. For now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We haven't seen him yet, but he's going to be revealed, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in or upon them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory which should follow, unto whom it was revealed, apocalypto, that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported, the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel, the good news unto you, with Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, and be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the apocalypto of Jesus Christ. Not something to be afraid of at all. Not even remotely recognizable according to what the world, the media, religion, Hollywood, and the rest of them tried to define the apocalypse as. Not even close. So far off the mark. Farther, perhaps, off the mark than many of the other huge errors that both the church and the secular society at large together error regarding. 1 Thessalonians. Can't leave this out. Chapter 4. Verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no what? Hope. That's why they sorrow. Now, I woke up this morning. I was telling my wife, it's kind of strange, but I woke up this morning thinking about my mom and my dad and how I missed them. But I will get to see them again. So I could be sorrowful that I can't just pick up the phone and call them, but I know that's not the end of it, you see. The world doesn't know that. Those who have no hope, and we're talking about the hope regarding the revelation, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about. Because you don't see him now, do you? But you believe in him. You don't see him, but you love him. And one of these days, you will see him. The Bible says, face to face. For since we believe that Jesus died, rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming, the personal presence of the Lord, shall not prevent them or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Not something to be afraid of. It's comforting to know that the Lord is going to return. That's the apocalypse. Finally, let's go back to Revelation, where I asked you to leave a marker. Verse 1 again. The revelation, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants, to disclose things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep these things which are written, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loveth us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, as we read in Thessalonians, and every eye shall see him. Do they see him now? No. I have this artist's rendition on the wall here. I don't believe Jesus looked like that, but when I took a class, some 40 years ago, that was on the wall behind the teacher, and it always reminds me of the Word of God I was taught and how my life changed. So I have one hanging there, right there in the teaching center. Jesus with long hair and a beard, which he probably did have, but I doubt he looked like the artist's rendition. I don't know, though. I haven't seen him. Nobody has seen him for 2,000 some years now. But one day, soon, hopefully, every eye shall see him. He'll be revealed. The apocalypse will take place, just as it has regarding the mystery and so many other things that we read about this morning. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. So that's a little bit about the apocalypse. Not a scary event at all. As a matter of fact, I can hardly wait. How about you? Even so, Jesus, come quickly.